Mike Lee devotees know that the filmmaker often starts a project without a script, maybe an outline or some characters in mind. After casting the film begins a months-long rehearsal process where actors are encouraged to do research, develop backstories for their characters, and improvise with one another. These recorded improv sessions provide the inspiration for the final script written by Mike Lee. The results are films that feel emotionally honest and often center on normal folks, working-class Brits, films like Secrets and Lies from 1996, Vera Drake from 2004, and Mr. Turner from 2014. All of these films, and more, are currently screening as part of the Film at Lincoln Center retrospective Human Conditions, the Films of Mike Lee. The film span from 1971 to 2018. The series begins today and runs through June 8th. Mike Lee will have a Q&A after tonight's screening of his film Naked, tomorrow's screening of Secrets and Lies, and Sunday's screening of Topsy Turvy. And we are so pleased that he joins me now. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
So what was interesting to you about a retrospective at this point?
Well, it's great. It's an honor. And I mean, you know, one could be forgiven for thinking that one's films will disappear into the ether and be forgotten by everybody forever. So when you have a retrospective, it's very good news and very encouraging. There was one in London before Christmas at the National Film Theatre, Film Institute Cinema. And they showed all of my films, including the ones that aren't at the Lincoln Center, the television films I made. And I was able to be there and sit in on some of the screenings. It played to packed houses, a lot of young people in the audience. And it was a real shot in the arm, you know. It made you feel you've not been wasting your time, you know. And it was great.
You know, I actually watched an interview from around the time of the London retrospective, and you had said during lockdown that you spent your time reflecting, procrastinating, and reading.
Well, all of those are exactly what I did. And since lockdown, I carried on doing that. I desperately tried to get someone to give me some money to make a film, which is very frustrating indeed. But so in the meantime, it's great that all the old ones are being wheeled out and appreciated.
What were you reflecting on? I think we all started thinking about our lives in different ways during the lockdown and our careers and what we've done. What were you reflecting on?
Well, apart from anything else, I'm getting on a bit in age. And, you know, it just makes you think about life and what you... all sorts of things, really. And of course, the pandemic really did make us confront all kinds of basic things about the way we live and the way we relate and our needs for each other and all of those things.
And finally, I want to talk about the films, I would love to know what you read.
What
you were reading. I would love to know what you were reading.
Well, apart from anything else, here's the thing. I had had a conversation with somebody about 6 months before lockdown, and Philip Roth's name came up, and I suddenly realised that I'd only ever read Portnoy's Complaint, on the basis of which I affected in my head to have read Philip Roth. So when lockdown came, I actually read all of his novels, a whole lot. Which is not, you know, it's very doable. They're all there. They're all available in paperback. And all you have to do is buy them and read them. And that's what I did. And it was great, you know. It was real. I mean, you know, he does span the spectrum. And sometimes he raises questions, as we know. And I don't always go along with some of his attitudes. But on the other hand, sometimes it's profoundly moving. And it resonates with me as he is as an observer of, that's just one example of many things that I write in lockdown.
My guest is Mike Lee. Human Conditions, the Films of Mike Lee, the retrospective at Film at Lincoln Center starts today. At this moment, your film Vera Drake, about a woman who performs illegal abortions, takes on a whole new resonance, especially here in the United States, in light of the leaked draft of the Supreme Court decision that would overturn Roe versus Wade. This film, by the way, is screening on May 29th and May 31st. Have you been thinking about the film differently in light of the recent news in the States?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I wish Vera Drake was out on general release all over the United States, quite frankly. I mean, it's not the only film that deals with the question of abortion and choice, but I mean, it leaves its main objective, apart from anything else, was to leave you in no doubt that you know this cannot happen. And if you ban terminations, there's no question that people like Vera Drake, and indeed very profoundly unpleasant and cynical people who are not like Vera Drake, who does it from the bottom of her heart and with good intentions, are there, and women are at their mercy, and it's barbaric. And apart from anything else, you know, thinking about the whole question from an environmental, planet, social point of view in the well into the 21st century, you know, it is preposterous. And I am, like everybody else around the world, you know, just astounded but by what is happening or what looks like is going to happen.
Let's listen to a clip from the film Vera Drake. This is Vera being interrogated by police.
You perform an abortion. Is that right, Mrs. Drake? You perform abortions, don't you?
That's not what I do, dear. That's what you call it, but they need help. Who else they're going to turn to? They got no one. I help them out.
A reminder, Vera Drake is screening on May 29th and May 31st. You know, I went back and I read reviews of the film at the time. And this one was from the BBC. And it said, aside from the performances, which are uniformly excellent, the greatest strength of Mike Leigh's drama is its non-judgmental stance on abortion. Leigh says he wants to film to trigger debate, and that's sure to happen, especially in countries where abortion is still illegal. Now, that's from 17 years ago. Mike, do you still feel that way about your films, that they hope they set off conversations?
Yes. I mean, you know, the question, what people sort of debate about my films is whether they are message films, and I don't make films that say, think this. I mean, with a film like Vera Drake, there's no question what I'm leading you in the direction to consider very seriously. But that's not my objective. I mean, there are filmmakers, including my great compatriot, Ken Loach, who I'm very close to, and we have a great deal of mutual respect. But he does make films which leave you in no doubt what the message is. And I have never made a film for which there was an obvious message. My objective, my films is that you should leave things with questions unanswered, to go away, to reflect, to debate, to argue, to consider perhaps things should have been like this and not like that, you know, and above all, to feel rather than anything else, to feel about the human condition and how we live.
From reading some of the interviews, it seems that your 1983 film, Meantime, is one you are particularly fond of and proud of. It tells the story of a working-class family struggling in Thatcher's England. This will screen on June 1st and June 4th. What is it about this film that's important to you?
Well, this is a film that came out, it was made at a time, 2 or 3, 4 years into Margaret Thatcher's regime. And there was a great deal of unemployment.
My guest is Mike Leigh. We are talking about his retrospective Human Conditions, the films of Mike Leigh. Meantime is the film we're discussing. It takes place in the early years of Thatcher's, I think you said the word regime?
Yes. No, during Thatcher's regime, the government was all kinds of dubious schemes to con people into thinking that they were solving the unemployment problem. It is a film that starts with a question of unemployment. Mm. That's what it's about. But it's about how it affects family and how it affects people who have and have and don't have, and about giving and taking and how the authorities operate. But at the centre of it all are, you know, people and young guys, including early performances by Tim Ruff and Gary Oldman, who were I could see were great talents amongst all the other guys that are in the film.
Yeah, Tim Roth was recently asked about working on Mean Time and your process that we described in the introduction to build a story, script, then film. Let's listen to Tim Roth discussing your process, Mike Lee. Specifically, he was asked about the film Mean Time.
But what Mike does is its own world. I mean, we had to build those characters from scratch, and it's a very long process, so that when you come to filming, when again there isn't a script, your character would only react in the way that you react to any given situation, and then you pare that down, and then that becomes not the script, it becomes the film and the story. It's different. So when people say I may be speaking completely out of turn here, but he may describe them as improvised films. I certainly wouldn't. I'd describe them as films, and very good ones, mostly. But it's a technique that he's developed that is quite often distressing to a lot of actors, I have to say. Not everybody can go down that road. I'd love to go down that road again. Love to.
That's Tim Roth speaking. How do you ascertain if an actor can do this, Mike? To Tim's point, not every actor can do this.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not all actors can. And indeed, not all actors would wish to. The actors I work with, you could define very clearly as character actors, which is to say they don't play themselves. They play other people, real people out there in the street. And we always base our characters on real people that they know, you know. And really, that's what it's about, basically. And once you open that, those possibilities, the sky's the limit. I mean, actors who really can do that can really go places. And, you know, I mean, Tim Roth's extract is very, very good and very nice that he says those things. I think it's slightly misleading what he says when he says that there is no script. We arrive at something which is very, very precisely scripted, in the sense that we decide exactly what's going to happen and exactly what everybody says through rehearsal, and that's what gets shot. I mean, the great myth is that it's improvised or ad-libbed on camera, which it isn't, basically. And although Tim didn't say it was, I just wanted to clear up. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit ambiguous what he did say, really.
Yeah, it would be chaos if there wasn't a script. You'd have ADs running around not knowing what to do. I mean, you would have to have
I mean, it's very organized. It's making a movie, you know. Yeah, exactly.
My guest is Mike Lee. The name of the retrospective is Human Conditions, the Films of Mike Lee. It's at the film at Lincoln Center. Starts today through June 8th. We'll have more with Mike after a quick break. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest this hour is filmmaker Mike Lee. There will be a Mike Lee retrospective at Film at Lincoln Center. It's called Human Conditions. It starts tonight and it goes through June 8th. Tonight there will be a Q&A with Mike after the screening of Naked, tomorrow after the screening of Secrets and Lies, and on Sunday after Topsy Turvy. So Mike, please correct me if I'm wrong. You studied as an actor at RADO at one point?
Yes, I did.
Is there something from that time that has proven to be incredibly useful in your work as a director?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I studied there. I went there in 1960, which is I now realize it's a very long time ago. And it's important that it was a very long time ago, because although it's a very good school now, then it was very old-fashioned indeed. I mean, it was really all about old-fashioned, rather formal and inorganic, unexploratory kind of acting. I mean, we certainly didn't do improvisations or think about characters and motivation and the real world. And I, though, going there at a young age, I immediately reacted against that. You know, I mean, I it made me think. And then, of course, you know, there were all sorts of other things going on at the beginning of the 1960s that were in the zeitgeist, you know, starting with Cassavetti's films and Happenings and other stuff, stuff that's happening in the theatre, the great work of Peter Brook, for example, and all that stuff was going on. But my initial experience as a student at RADA, at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, certainly was a starting point in that I reacted completely against the rather stale, old-fashioned kind of regime.
In your early days as a filmmaker, how did it go when you would approach a producer or a studio and say, I have this film idea. There's, you know, I can't give you a script yet. It is an idea. We're going to be collaborative. We're going to work on this. How did that, what was that conversation like?
Well, it's very straightforward. Actually, what I actually say is even worse than you've you're characterizing, because I say there isn't a script. There will never be a script. There will just be a film. And that's what Tim Roth was referring to. I can't tell you anything about it at all. In other words, I seldom say there's an idea. I don't say that. I think we're going to embark on a journey and discover what the film is by the process of making it. In other words, to do what painters and novelists and sculptors and poets and composers and music makers of other kinds do, which is to, you know, hang out and explore and kick things around and give and take, learn and go on a journey of discovery. That's what we do. So you go to a backer of some kind and you say, there's no script. I can't tell you anything about it. I will not discuss casting. Give us the money. And it's quite, what happens is very straightforward. Either they say, yes, great, go for it. And then we negotiate the account of money and we work backwards from the amount of money that there is to work out what we can do within that. Or, and here I'm not allowed to use an expletive, so they tell us to get lost. but rather more forcibly than that expression would suggest. And it's as straightforward as that. And the tragedy is that currently I'm getting more of the latter than the former. In other words, I'm having some difficulty in raising the money to make another film.
The way you described it as a painter works or a sculptor works, it made me think that you don't make films, you create films.
Yeah, I make films. I mean, it's a question of, well, sort of semantics, really. I mean, the point is, what we don't make our films. I don't make my films in the way that is normally made, where somebody makes the entire film is planned out before anybody's even set foot in anywhere near a camera. You know, with many great movies, that works completely. But indeed, with many, many films, it's got a dead hand all over it, precisely for that reason. But, you know, this is an organic thing. I mean, we always spend a good 6 months or so with all the actors doing all the stuff and exploring, creating the world, creating characters, researching, so that we can then go on location, scene by scene, sequence by sequence, build the film in a very precise way. But yeah, it's making movies, you know.
Secrets and Lies will be screening tomorrow night on the 31st, and on June 8th, of course, was nominated for 5 Oscars. Tells the story of a black woman who decides to reunite with her birth mother, who is a white woman. Let's listen to a clip from this film. This is one of the first, this is such a great scene, one of the first interactions between mother and daughter.
Are you married?
No, I ain't married, sweetheart. Are you?
No.
I bet you got a boyfriend, though, ain't you?
No, not at the moment.
a nice looking girl like you.
Have you got a boyfriend?
I'll give them all a wide berth. They got me into enough trouble in the past, don't they?
Mike, what is it about that film that you think resonates with people?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
What is it about Secrets and Lies that you think resonates with people?
Well, apart from anything else, apart from anything to do with how people feel or empathize or any of that, one of the reasons why it was so popular around the world when we made it is because it's still illegal to trace your birth mother in many places, including a lot of the United States of America. And I, for many years after we made the film, would receive letters from people either saying, you know, I am adopted and I, having seen your film, I decided to trace my birth mother and this is what happened. Or women saying, you know, I gave my child away and I hope he or she will get in touch with me now that I've seen your film. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons, apart from the basic human need we have to know who we are and to, you know, belong and all of those things. And it is also, of course, it's, I called it Secrets and Lies, and it is about, you know, the things that are hidden away and the truth coming out and sharing truths and all of those things, of course.
Has there been a reaction to one of your films that puzzled you and maybe still puzzles you?
Yes and no. I mean, it's a difficult question to answer. I mean, Naked, which I'm sure you're familiar.
Yes.
I mean, when it first came out, there was quite a strong reaction from a hardline feminist quote saying it was a misogynist movie. And that Johnny, the central character, is a misogynist and a woman hater. Well, I don't think that's true. What is true is that there is another character in the film, there's the landlord in the film, who most certainly is both of those things. But the film is far too complex, and Johnny, the central character, is too complex to write him off simply as a woman hater and a misogynist, because he isn't. But, you know, certainly he's got issues, there's no question about that. And it's a question, you also have to look at it from the point of view of how the women actually behave and why they behave the way they behave. So it wasn't so much that that surprised me, but it's confusing when you know you've made a film, which, I mean, I am a feminist, so, I mean, there's no question that I know I haven't made a misogynist movie. Interestingly enough, those reactions and those criticisms had sort of died away pretty much by the end of the 1990s. We made the film in the early 90s. But there are still, I did a screening of the film in Manchester recently, and there was one quite elderly lady who was very, very annoyed with them because for that. So obviously she was a throwback to those days, you know. But, you know, on the whole, people get what our films are about.
My guest is Mike Lee. The name of the retrospective is Human Conditions, the films of Mike Lee, a film at Lincoln Center. You know, when you go back and look at your films, there are so many terrific actors in the early parts of their career. Gary Oldman, Sally Hawkins, Tim Roth. There's even James Corden as a round guy, young guy. Is there a particular career of someone you worked with as a young actor that you found interesting?
A particular actor?
Yeah, that you found their career.
Well, no, I can't. That's a question that which I can't or wouldn't and won't answer. I mean, they're all interesting. Of course,
I mean,
Nice try. I mean, you mentioned James Corden. I mean, of course, when we had James Corden in my film All or Nothing back at the beginning of the century. I mean, we didn't know that James Corden would one day rule the world. way he now does. But he was a very good character actor, and he played this tubby, angry boy, you know, in this family. It's not for me to say this, that, or the other actor is particular. They're all great. I mean, I have the privilege of working with great character actors, and they can all deliver the goods, you know.
What is the film that you want to make that you're saying you have?
Oh, that's a question. That's not on an agenda, except to say that I've three films I've made with three period films: Topsy Turvy, which is about the theatre of Gilbert and Sullivan; Mr. Turner, which is about the great 19th century British painter Turner; and of course the Peterloo, which is about the Peterloo Massacre in 1819 in Manchester. Now, those films were quite big scale films, and unlike what we were talking about earlier, in those cases I was able to say, this is going to be about Gilbert and Sullivan, this is going to be about Turner, etc. Which meant that we could get the bigger budgets we needed because people knew what they were backing.
Interesting.
What's never happened for all my other films, and we've talked about this in this conversation, about how I say I can't tell you anything, and you know, that has meant we can only get a limited budget. And what I really, the film I would like to make, and I'm not talking about subject matter, but merely conceptual. Mm-hmm. I want to do something on a big, much bigger scale, with the freedom to explore that I'm talking about, with a bigger budget. That is what I'm finding very difficult to get.
That is to be.
They don't want to know.
That is to be continued in my mind.
That includes Netflix.
That's a to be continued, I think. This may work out. My guest has been Mike Lee. The name of the retrospective is Human Conditions, the Films of Mike Lee. It's from Film at Lincoln Center, opening tonight, May 27th through June 8th. Mike, thank you for making time today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.